Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
Good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Our guest today is a man who needs no introduction. Everybody knows him. He's world famous, and he's been on this program enough times that he has his own chair. Is Dr. Chuck Epps. He, of course, is the superintendent of the Fort Mill School District, which just happens to be academically, I think, numero uno in the state of South Carolina and probably in the top 10 across the country. Is that close?
That's a fair statement.
Fair statement. That just didn't happen, did it?
No, it didn't. It didn't just happen.
So how you been?
I'm fine.
I haven't talked to you in a while.
It's been a while since we've talked last. Usually we're here for growth or a bond referendum.
Today you get both.
That's the only thing you need me for.
That's not true, because that raises an interesting question. You can remember, I'm sure, the days when you, as a district leader or district officer, probably spent 10% of your time on growth issues and the rest of it on curriculum.
Yes.
And now it's probably done a 180.
Funny you say that. I had what I'd call a normal school job up until about 1995. Since then, we've been in either the middle of a building program, or I remember one year we had a breather somewhere there in the between 2010 and 2012 or so, because of the economy downturn. But yes, it's been a different job since then.
Well, for those who are new to the area, let me put it this way: historically, the Fort Mill School District for the last, I'll say, 15 years, has been building one new school on average a year to handle the increase in school population, correct?
And if you extrapolate the numbers out, it probably comes out to be pretty accurate.
And now, I'm sitting here with the superintendent of the largest school district in York County, which was not the case a few years ago.
And we don't say that with pride. That's just a factual statement, and we've got to, it brings with it many challenges for a small geographic area like Fort Mill.
How many students do you have now?
18,004. 118, I think it was, last week. And that's quadrupled since that 1995 period that I was referencing.
Wow. Four times since 1995.
Mm-hmm. And you can imagine the stress on the infrastructure, the roads, the schools, the police, the fire, the tax situation. It's been a challenging time for sure.
Here's one that'll tax your memory. In 1995... can you remember how many schools you had then versus how many you have now?
We had four.
Four.
And we currently have 20. We just broke ground on number 21 last week, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And the referendum is going to add another one to that, so it'll be 20 or one. Or, well, if you count the early childhood center or school, it'll be a couple more.
So it's true to say that you spent a great deal of your time on construction and school buildings. Now
I've got people that spend a lot more time on it than I do. I get the 5-minute report at the end, but we strategically thinking, planning, we spend a lot of time on that.
Well, so,
I had to commend the school board here. They're the ones that look at the numbers, and our public has been real positive in regards to when we've needed facilities. So it's not just me and the staff.
Well, I was going to mention that the Fort Mill School District has achieved these tremendous milestones in terms of academic performance for a number of reasons. Obviously, you've got a great staff there. You've got tremendous facilities. I mean, state-of-the-art, most of them brand new or remodeled, recently remodeled. But you've got a general public that, oh my God, it must have been 10 times since I've sat here doing this program that has gone to the voting booth and approved a bond referendum to build another school.
Yeah, you mentioned all the ingredients. I'm most proud of maintaining the high quality, as you mentioned, the academic piece in the face of all this growth. But our staff is amazing. Our teachers are phenomenal. Our parents are wonderful. The support is there. The school board is progressive and forward-thinking. It takes all of that, Manning, as you well know.
So, with that being said, you you also referenced that the Fort Mill School District has the smallest geographic footprint of the four districts here in York County.
Smallest in the state.
Smallest in the state?
Yeah, I think Spartanburg 7 is fights us over there. We're 53 acres. They're 52 or 3, so we're two small ones there.
Square miles, you mean?
Square miles, I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, all right.
Not acres. Yeah, oh, Lord. That's enough on a high school.
Yeah. So, with that being said, you got 20 schools now, 21, and you had a presentation from one of your many consultants that said over the next 10 years, you're going to need more schools than 21. So, where are you going to find the land to do this?
Well, we've been real fortunate there, blessed, I think. We've had legacy landowners in town who have either sold or donated sites. We've gotten several sites donated or partially paid for from the Springs Close family. They've allowed us to build schools on the peripheral edges of the Greenway, which has kind of saved us. I think without their help and along with the other landowners, we would have difficulty finding the site. The trick is, of course, they could probably get more money for the sites if they went on the commercial side.
Oh, sure.
So it's kind of a humanitarian gesture on their part. Plus, they don't like seeing all the housing and the additional cars on the road. So it's a little altruistic on their part. But that's where we've been getting it so far. It'll be challenging going forward. No mistake about it.
Well, for all of us who knew Ann Springs Close, I mean, she was very much about the environment, very much about quality of life.
Right.
The whole family is, as is evidenced by that beautiful greenway that they collectively donated to the community, whatever, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. It's amazing. Absolutely.
And they continue that legacy. They're donating the Clear Springs Company, which is their real estate arm, is donating the site for our early childhood center, which is included in this referendum.
Okay, so let's go ahead and swing in. Before we do that, let's talk about the groundbreaking just had here last week, I guess, for a free school.
Perfect segue. We had two pretty big events happen in the last couple of weeks in the school district. First, as you said, we had a groundbreaking on elementary number 12. Now, the significance of that is, if there was anything good about the county suing us, is the fact that we didn't spend the money, chose not to spend the money. So now we're able to pay for this elementary school with impact fees. And what an amazing story that is. You know, impact fees are not designed to pay for a school. They're designed to supplement your brick and mortar cost. But by the action of the lawsuit, by the results of that, allow this to accumulate the money. So we're paying for that school out of with cash. Now what that means is, let's say Manny Kimmel has lived in Fort Mill for 30 years. He didn't help pay for this school. The new people coming in helped pay for it, which is growth paying for growth.
Right.
So it levels out the taxes. So you've already paid some of your share, so you didn't get penalized and have to pay more for this one. So it's an unusual situation, but a blessing for us. And going forward, the second event that happened in the last couple of weeks is the board voted to hold a referendum, present before the public a question to build some additional schools in a $204 million referendum in March, March 19th, in fact. So the $204 million, the story there is the $204 million could have easily been, it cost $65 million to build this elementary. It could have been $270 million. But we were able to fund that school with cash, the referendum amount was lower, smaller. So that's the story we got to get out to the public as we go forward. That's the marketing story that we've got to sell.
So that $65 million you say is in cash. Is that more impact fee that's going to be used towards that?
Yeah, yes, that's right. So okay. We're still collecting impact fees until I think 2025, when we'll have to go back to the county again, and I'm sure I can't speak for the board at that time, but I feel like it's been such a success story for us that we'll try to get it extended.
As you and I were talking before we went on the air, it wasn't too long ago when this whole issue of impact fees came up, and the county council wanted to have a special meeting, and they scheduled that for the McKelvey Center, up in York, which holds probably 500 people or so. We broadcast that meeting live that evening. It was packed, and I think the county council was absolutely dumbfounded by the fact that one after another after another after another person from Fort Mill said, we want this. We want you to add to do this impact fee. We need this because of our schools, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, again, another example of the strong support we get from our public.
Yep. And the end result is really the proof of the pudding because academically, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you're number one in terms of academic achievement here in York County and right up there with the top, whatever it is, 5 or 6 or 10 in the state of South, across the nation.
Yeah, that's true.
That's amazing.
That's true. The first part you said about me being, you embellished the part about how good I was, but I do think you're not going to get in trouble with the FTC over what you said about the schools. You've got to be good.
Okay, so we've got that, I'll call it the free school, the impact fee school, but $53 million of impact fee is what you're putting towards this.
63.
Whatever it is. I don't know what the number is, but it's a lot of money.
65.
Okay. 65, okay. How long did it take the county or the school district to accumulate that amount of money from the impact fee?
That's the amount accumulated since we implemented the new impact fee in 2018. So that's been 5 years.
5 years to accumulate $65 million plus.
Right.
My gosh. So you probably have another free school here in another 5 years.
Well, if we can continue the impact fee, it'll certainly benefit us in our cost to build schools.
Okay. All righty. So this referendum that is coming up here in March for $204 million
right.
is to build more schools.
Yeah. What we have is a 10-year facilities plan. We update it each year. Currently we have 4 schools that are frozen in enrollment, meaning we're not accepting students. They're shuttled to other schools that have capacity. But the 10-year plan reveals to us as planners when you're running out of capacity at the elementary, middle, and high school levels. So we were able to do the plan. As I said earlier, would have had this other elementary in it, which would have made it a bigger number instead of the 204. But we were able to eliminate that, to minimize the impact on the taxpayer there. But for the next 5 years, this is the 5-year hit of the 10-year plan. We've still got the need for a middle school, and we're gonna ask for an early to public to approve building of an early childhood center. And let me say a word about that for a minute. Now that we're on that, the one area we do not hit all the kids that are that the demand is there is in 4-year-old programs. We don't receive much funding from the state for the 4-year-old programs, but. So when you go back and look at the numbers, 53% of our kids coming to us in 5K or kindergarten programs are ready for kindergarten. We don't like that number. That may be a favorable number in some communities, but that means they've gone to all the either homeschooled or the private programs, and only 53% of them are ready for 5K. So we think another year, if we could impact those kids on the 4-year-old program, and have a quality, high-quality program in Fort Mill Public School District, a 4-year-old, which is what the Early Childhood Center will do for us. We think we can bring that number up to where there'll be a higher percentage. Let's say we only improve it by 10%. Let's say we go to 63%. The beauty there is these kids are starting out ahead of when they were. The problem with being in the percent that's not ready is catching them up.
Okay.
So we do a good job with the bright kids, Manny. We have plenty of bright kids. Where we miss the boat, or we can do a better job is on the lower end. This will allow those kids to be more ready. They'll be farther along in reading and math. And, you know, the research is overwhelming about if you have quality preschool programs that they're going to do better. I mean, the whole South Carolina law about third grade retention is built on kids that don't pass, can't read by third grade, a large percentage of them end up in the prison system. So, you know, it's just overwhelming data to support this. But this would be a piece of the puzzle that we sorely need. And on top of that, as I mentioned earlier, the timing seems right with the donation of the land. It's going to be in the Paradise community. The Early Childhood Center will be located in the Paradise community of our town. which is one of our low-income areas, and it'll hopefully it'll revitalize that community. But it'll have all the four-year-olds in our school system going to school at the same site, which will be good for the community, bring the community together. And then when they go to five-year-olds, they go back to their school that they're zoned for, their elementary school. But it'll pull everybody together in a unification manner, and so we're really excited about that. We're going to have some parts. Some of the areas of the greenway will be used as part of the school, the playgrounds. Just real excited.
So where are four-year-olds going now?
We don't have we've got a state program that has two half-day classes. We have some employee four-year-old programs. We're not meeting that. We have to turn away about 300 or 400 kids each year.
So once this is built, it'll be able to handle how many students?
Well, we're building it for, these rooms are more expensive to build. They've got to be built on one level. You have bathrooms in the rooms for these young children, so they're more costly to build. We're building it. We think we have about 1,200 kids. We're building it to house about 700 or 800, and there'll be a need somewhere down the road for another early childhood center somewhere in the next, 10 years or so. So we're building it for, I think it was 750 or 800, I believe. But see, some people are going to stay with their private program. Some people will stay with their church program.
Gotcha.
We think the number will work for us. It'll free up some space where we have the four-year-old classes in the current schools, which will help us too.
So all these consultants and demographers that you have to help you with all this, this is... Do they see any, I guess not, I'm answering my own question, but I guess they don't see really any slowdown in this growth issue that you're facing.
Well, no, they don't. And of course, anything could impact that. I mean, something could happen in the economy, something could happen on the worldwide stage that would slow the growth or stop the growth. That's why we only look at five-year chunks. But there just appears to be no end in sight. I think Rock Hill and Clover and York are seeing much of the same kind of trend data where they're all going to be growing. I mean, it's just spilling over from Charlotte. We're all a part of this everybody moving to this area of the United States.
And what's happening, it's interesting as you take a look at just property values. Charlotte has very high property values. Fort Mill is right behind them. Mm-hmm. And right behind them, of course, is Rock Hill and then York. And you're getting this spillover because not everybody can afford to live, in Charlotte or in Fort Mill or here, and they're going to spill over from here down to Chester.
It's going to happen. I mean, you and I may not live to see it, but there'll probably be another outer loop around 485 at some point down around the Chester area.
I don't want to live that long. Thank you.
I hope not to see that.
Yeah.
I think if you look at the numbers, just think of Indian Land, Lancaster County. If you look on a map, The demographers will tell you that Indian Land has the potential. Now, the potential is they go down 521 to be bigger than Rock Hill and Fort Mill. I mean, there's just more land.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I'm not predicting that.
Okay. We're going to take our mid-program break, reminding that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech. Piedmont Medicals, Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, as is Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Here at Substation 2, we do fresh subs and salads, and we do them 6 days a week, right before your eyes. People come back here all the time because they know how good they are. And the way they're good is out here in these big white letters. We're going to say it together at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
It's soup weather and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
We know the type. You like to start early, finish late, make lemon squares, and make payments to the college fund from anywhere in the house. We know you rely on Comporium for the things you rely on most, like a view of the backyard. That's just a bunny and hundreds of channels to watch whenever you want. So you may think of us as just your internet company, but we're more like the I didn't know they could do all that company. Comporium, always ready.
Now open, the new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at piedmontmedicalcenter.com/Fort Mill.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Relax with Founders Federal Credit Union, where members are our top priority. Founders just gave back $10 million to current qualified members. If you earned a loyalty bonus dividend, the funds were deposited in your loyalty select account, proving once again that it pays to be a Founders member. If you aren't a member yet, now's the time to join. Visit foundersfcu.com to learn more about the Founders difference and to see if you qualify for membership. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Chuck Epps is with us. He is the superintendent of the Fort Mill School District, a job he's had for many, 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 many years. Done a great job. And, of course, Fort Mill is growing like a weed, as he just pointed out when he back in 1995, when we first started talking about whatever, bond referendums. They had four schools. And here we are, 2023, and we've got 20 schools. And we got another one that they've broken ground on, and we got another one being planned. Jeez, wow. 18,418 students. That's amazing. So the consultant that you used said we got to bite off this chunk of $204 million to get started, whoever they were, said, guess what? That's not all. We're looking at a 10-year plan that is going to be really probably closer to $700 million. Did you fall out of your chair when you heard that?
Yeah, well, kind of. But, if you look at it, it includes another elementary or two, another middle school. One thing we're trying to stay away from, and we're going to stay away from if I have anything to do with it, is we're not going to build a fourth high school. And by the year 2029, that shows need for some high school seats. So we've got some plans we're about to roll out the administration about a program that will draw kids away from the other three high schools. They'll still be a member of Catawba Ridge, Nation Ford, and Fort Mill High, but they'll attend sort of like, you remember how kids used to go to the Kate Center in Rock Hill? That's not the program we're looking at, but we're looking at something that'll draw kids away instead of trying to find 100 more acres. And I just don't think the infrastructure can handle four high schools in this small area. So that's our desire, is to never build a fourth high school. The four-year-old program will take care of the front end. We're going to talk about what we're going to do on the back end. And we've already got some land for what I'm talking about. It won't have ball fields on it. So we've got a plan. It's part of the 10-year plan. But that would be part of that number you just cited.
It'd be basically an educational center.
Something like that, yeah.
You go there to get it, whatever. Okay.
Whether it's a ninth-grade academy, whether it's a GT type of approach, whether it's middle college, it'll be something.
But no fourth high school.
That's right.
I got you. Good for you. I'm not sure how we could handle another football season and carry more.
Well, think of this. Lancaster County just bought 100 acres up on the county line for a high school. So right. Lancaster's going to have two high schools. You could throw a rock and hit our three. You got Weddington and Sun Valley. You've got Ardrey Kale. You've got, six or seven I've just named high schools that all have 2,000 students and probably a, 15-mile radius? Yeah. It's crazy.
But more to come. More to come. All right, so I think we're pretty well up to speed on building. Have we missed anything on building? We're pretty good on that?
Right. I don't know that I mentioned everything in the referendum, but the building, we're up to speed. I was trying to – we've got some technology included in this referendum. And let me see.
Some money for land, I think.
Money for land. That's true.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
All right. Now, with all that being said, maintaining the level of academic proficiency that you have obviously requires really good teachers, administrators, what have you. And we all know that there's a so-called teaching crisis across
right.
the country.
Right.
How are you weathering that storm?
Well, so far we've been able to weather it. It's been a challenge. I mean, before the shortage, we had them lined up at our tables and all the career fairs. That's not the case now. And we're having some difficulty in filling some of the hard-to-teach areas, like special ed and some of those critical needs areas, which they're all becoming that way. There's several state committees. I think there were two reports coming out about ways to retain and recruit teachers. And we're going to have to get serious about implementing some of those programs, whether they're paid internships or whatever, because the kids are not filling the pipeline. They're not going to the Winthrops or the Clemsons or the Carolinas because the education is not well paid. And, they're taking a hit. You know, we're taking all the culture battles on for everybody now. All this impacts kids at that age of 16 and 17 when they're making career decisions about what programs to go into. So we've got to somehow honor this profession in a better way across the country, not just Fort Mill.
Well, I don't know how many times I have talked about this on the air, but let's just add one more. I don't understand to this day that here in South Carolina, we pride ourselves in attracting the biggest names in industry, the Boeings, the BMWs, the Volvos. I mean, you name it. We've got the biggest manufacturers in the world.
Yep.
And they have the highest levels of technology, and they're looking for the brightest workers that they can get. Well, where's the pipeline coming from? The pipeline is coming from the high schools, right?
Right.
So you're competing with the private sector for the best and the brightest.
Right.
So why the hell don't we pay them?
Let's talk end game here. Uh-huh. I heard this number at the school board's conference last week, that 90% of our kids, K-12, go to public school in South Carolina. I don't know that that's an accurate number, but I bet it's close. At least that's what the speakers are saying. Okay, 65% of South Carolinians live in poverty. So if we divert money, which we're doing, our legislature's doing it, diverting money to private efforts and vouchers, and then the end game is that workforce is not going to be there, Manny, to the degree that the Boeings and all want them to be there. So that I just ask, what's the end game about that strategy? I don't know the answer. I don't think you just can't ignore the public schools. And I know more money's not necessarily the answer, but certainly be propping up and helping our public schools be stronger would seem to me that would be the best way to go as a state, in a state economy.
Well, I don't think you're going to get an argument from this table. But I go back to the legislature, which adds 1,000 here, 2,000 there, which is nice. Appreciate that. But it's not really realistic in terms of what you have to compensate somebody to. It's going into the private sector.
Right.
So you and I are going to have to fight this battle a little bit later because we've run out of time.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Well, Dr. Chuck Epps, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you and all that kind of stuff. Thank you for the great service that you do and all your teachers and your administrators because you got a great school district.
Well, we appreciate you in Fort Mill and WRHI.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax you with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, we do fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2. We do them 6 days a week between 10 in the morning. That's right, 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. So, reasons why people like Scott Oliver keep coming back here day after day after day, and Chuck Epps comes down here when he can get a permit to come across the river, is because of these white letters that we're all going to tell everybody about together. At the count of three, can we hear from you? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.